please rise. O Lord, open thou my lips.
And my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh,
my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
From the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion.
In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle.
I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice.
Have mercy also upon me, and answer me.
When you said, seek my face.
My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger.
You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me,
then the Lord will take care of me.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
And lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies.
Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries.
For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
Wait on the Lord.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first reading is from the 15th and 16th chapters of Judges. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you had thoroughly hated her. Therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines, and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. So he attached them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. They went down and dwelt in the cleft in the rock of Edom. And the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" They answered, "We have come to arrest Samson, to do to him what he has done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said to him, "Why have you come down to arrest you, that they may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines?" Then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So they spoke to him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone down from his hand, and they called that place Ramath Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called its name En-Hachor, which is in Lehi this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and went in to her. When the Gazites were told, "Samson has come here," they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were all quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God, the Lord.
Our second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, the 3rd and 4th chapters. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who were by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Continue with the hymn printed there. The Lord
is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Since the Lord is my life, my strength, and my all, whom then shall I fear? There is one thing I ask of the Lord, to dwell in his house forever, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. Do not hide your face, O Lord. Every day I will seek your face. Though my father and mother may forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Since the Lord is my life, my strength, and my all, whom then shall I fear? Teach me, Lord, and keep me on your paths. Guide me, Lord, along a level way. I will gaze on the goodness of the Lord in the land of all the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Since the Lord is my life, my strength, and my all, whom then shall I fear?
They're writing from Martin Luther. Then in what manner or way has Christ redeemed us? The manner was as follows. He was born under the law. When Christ came, he found us all captive under guardians and trustees, that is, confined and constrained under the law. What did he do? He himself is Lord of the law. Therefore, the law has no jurisdiction over him and cannot accuse him, because he is the Son of God. He who was not under the law subjected himself voluntarily to the law. The law did everything to him, that is, it did to us. It accused us and terrified us. It subjected us to sin, death, and the wrath of God. And it condemned us with its judgment. And it had a right to do all of this, for we have all sinned. But Christ committed no sin, and no guile was found on his lips. 1 Peter, therefore he owed nothing to the law, and yet against him, so holy, righteous, and blessed, the law raged as much as it does against us accursed and condemned sinners, and even more fiercely. It accused him of blasphemy and sedition. It found him guilty in the sight of God of all the sins of the entire world. Finally, it so saddened and frightened him that he sweat blood, Luke 22. And eventually it sentenced him to death, even death upon a cross, Philippians 2. Therefore, we believers are free of the law through Christ, who triumphed over it in him, Colossians 2. This glorious triumph, accomplished for us through Christ, is grasped not by works, but by faith alone. Therefore, faith alone justifies. Oh, hear and mark the message well, for God himself has spoken. Let faith, not doubt, among us dwell, and so receive this token. Our Lord here with his word endows, pure water freely flowing. God's Holy Spirit here avows our kinship while bestowing the baptism of his blessing. nor in Article 1 and 2 of the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. The first article is on God. Yesterday we read the introduction. Our adversaries approve Article 1 of our confession, in which we declare that we believe and teach that there is one divine, undivided essence. Yet there are three distinct persons of the same divine essence and co-eternal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have always taught and defended this article. We believe that it has sure and firm testimonies in Holy Scripture that cannot be overthrown. We constantly affirm that those thinking otherwise are outside of Christ's church, are idolaters, and insult God. The second article is on original sin. The adversaries approve Article 2, original sin. But they define original sin in such a way that they actually condemn our definition, which we gave in passing. Here, right at the outset, Your Majesty will discover that the Confutation's writers were lacking not only judgment, but also honesty. We simply wanted to mention the things that original sin includes, but these men, by creating a misleading interpretation, cleverly twist a statement that in itself contains nothing wrong. So they say, to lack fear of God and to lack faith is actual guilt. Therefore they deny it is original sin. Clearly these sorts of subtleties start in the schools, not in the emperor's council. Even though sophistry can easily be refuted, we ask that the Augsburg Confession in German be examined, so that all good people will understand that we do not teach anything absurd in this manner. This free from us from the suspicion of teaching something new. For there is written, it is further taught that since Adam's fall, all human beings who are naturally conceived are born in sin. From their mother's womb, they are filled with evil desire and inclination toward evil. By nature, they have no true fear of God and no true faith in God. As this passage demonstrates, we teach that those who are born according to the fleshly nature have concupiscence. This means people not only lack fear and trust in God, but they also do not even have the power or gifts to produce fear and trust in God. What fault can be found with this point? Indeed, we think that we have explained and defended ourselves well enough to good men. For in this sense, the Latin description denies to nature the ability, gifts, and energy to produce fear and trust in God. In adults, we deny the ability to actually do good, do anything truly good. So when we mention concupiscence, we understand not only the acts or fruits, but also the constant inclination of the nature. Now we will show more fully that our description agrees with the usual ancient definition. First, we will show why we prefer to use these words in this place. In their schools, the adversaries confess that the material, as they call it, of original sin is concupiscence. We should not have passed by this fact by framing our definition, precisely because some are offering philosophical speculations in a way that is not appropriate for teachers of religion. The Lord looks down from his throne in heaven and he sees. From there he sits enthroned on high. He looks out upon all the inhabitants of the earth. The Lord looks down and he sees. Nothing escapes his gaze. No deed goes unnoticed. Nothing is too small or too large for him to take note. The Lord looks down and sees. He calls upon his chosen ones to provide deliverance for his chosen people. He grants the power and orchestrates the affairs of humankind in order to bring salvation to his people. He appoints a man for a time so that his people will once again be free from the impositions of the enemy. Yet the ones chosen are broken tools and crushed pots. They fall short and fail. They prove unable to walk without guilt or to live without sin. Broken tools and crushed pots. The Lord chooses to use us, but it is a choice fraught with difficulties. We are called to service, indentured as the servants of the Lord, but our faithfulness is suspect, so much so that so much of the time we would walk with the Lord, we would truly be on his paths. We would stand firm in the face of battle, but we do not. We are broken tools and crushed pots. How can the Lord rely upon us to provide the desperately needed deliverance from the wickedness of our world? How dare he trust in these broken tools? How can he place any reliance upon crushed pots? The Lord looks and he sees. He sees the struggles, the failures, and the lost battles. Even in victory, there is defeat. Even when a great deliverance takes place, the people fall back too soon into sin. The Lord looks and sees, and then he acts in an altogether faithful way. He acts and sends a deliverer who is both God and man. He acts and delivers up his Son so that the children of humankind might be delivered from their enemies. He acts and he provides a deliverance that fulfills every other deliverance in the history of the world. For all other deliverances merely point to the one who is strong to save. Christ Jesus is our strong deliverer. It is he who saves us from the enemies that have surrounded us and imprisoned us in their darkness. It is he who scatters them with his mighty arms and slays them with reckless abandon by his power and strength. It is he who has saved us. We are his. Every earthly deliverer, every appointed judge, every champion of the people falls short. Overcome at last by the tribulations and temptations. But the Lord is of a different class. He saves his creation. He delivers the soul from death. He does not fail. He is not moved by evil, and he is not overcome with temptation. He wins the victory and does not falter. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Please rise. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense.
And in lifting up my hands as a evening sacrifice. Lord, now lest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord,
have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you came in humility and weakness to defeat the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Clothe our weakness with your righteousness by your baptismal grace, that we might withstand the power of every adversary. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
I thank
you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you have forgiven me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.